Save big money at Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. We have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Get free estimates fast using our easy do-it-yourself landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape products at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit JDPower.com for details and Menards.com for deals.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. I've seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I am J Clone 8.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yep, that's me.
You said that with a lot of confidence.
I did, because that's who I am.
Yes, I could see.
No fooling.
No fooling. No fooling, dog. All right. It's not just us.
We're joined by a guest today.
Yeah, a really cool encounter. She's coming on to share. I'm super excited. You know, it's one of our favorite categories we actually get to talk about in the show.
Yes.
So why don't you go ahead and do an intro, and then we'll invite her on.
Well, we are joined today by a newer listener to the show that first heard us on the Confessionals podcast, and she's had an experience that she's going to share with us today that inspired that episode that we did on the Confessionals, inspired her to contact us and share it with us. So let me introduce you all to Robin.
Robin, yay!
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. It's been a long day already, but I'm good.
Well, good.
Yeah, especially with the... What, if you don't mind sharing, what state are you in?
Arizona.
That's what I thought. So the time thing is always a problem.
Yeah.
The time zones.
Right, yeah.
Especially, like, I think the Australians have been the worst as far as having to schedule something.
Yeah, well, yeah, because it's on the opposite side of the world.
It's like, who wants to get up at 8 a.m. and who wants to stay up till midnight? You know, right, what do you want to do? But no, we're super excited to have you on. Jay has the littlest idea about your encounter. You sent me a big, you know, nice chunk of the story. And I was like, we just have to talk about it because it's a crazy one. And then the tagline in the email will be the title of this episode, no matter how the episode goes, because it's fun. Yeah. But I guess just tell us. I don't know if you want to start with your encounter or how you kind of found us with this information. However you want to go. We're pretty relaxed here.
Okay. I guess I can start with the encounter, but do you guys want me to start from like the beginning, like in the email?
Yeah.
Okay. So this was early 2000s. I was still in high school. We had moved to this house about that time, and it was super haunted, and there was crazy stuff that would happen outside the house, crazy stuff that would happen inside the house. But to be honest, this, from the house we moved from, that house was more haunted. And then we moved to this house and it was also haunted. But okay, so me and my younger sisters would sneak out at night. This one particular night, me and my one sister snuck out and weren't able to get back in. The usual way we would get in was from a back door that went into the laundry room. We would leave that unlocked before we sneak out, but we had, somebody had locked it. Probably our mom discovered it, unlocked and locked it. So we decided we would just hang out in the front yard till somebody woke up. We figured we would just spin this story to our mom that we were in the front yard, just kind of hanging out. And then everybody went to sleep and we decided we didn't want to wake anybody up, which wasn't a super far-fetched story. We did like hanging out in our front yard. But we were sitting on the tailgate of my mom's truck, just chit-chatting. And then dawn broke and lights started emanating the neighborhood. And I'm talking to my sister and I'm looking at my feet and I realize my sister's not, she's not responding to me. She's very quiet. So I look up at her and she's looking down the street and you could just see fear on her face. So I look over where she's looking, like I follow her eye line, and there's this thing. I don't know what to call it, but a thing. It was down the street, not very far. I said in the email 500 to 800 feet, but I don't think it was 800 feet.
Yeah.
It was under 800 feet away. But it was, you could see the space between where it ended and the road was probably about 2 or 3 feet of space between where it was and the road. It was triangular shaped. But rounded edges, and it had to have been, let's ballpark, 12 feet long, because we could see it wasn't quite hitting the lamp, the lamppost that it was under, and those things are about 14 feet, I think. I hope this all makes sense.
No, keep going. You're doing great.
Okay. And it had layers. It had tons of layers. It was all white. It had tons of layers. And all these layers were moving like this. They were undulating, but not in sync with each other. They were all undulating, you know, separately from each other. And it was moving towards us very, very slowly. And I was just fascinated. I was just in awe. This thing didn't have eyes. I couldn't see a mouth. There was no hands or feet. And I look over at my sister to ask her, what do you think that is? Because I was just so fascinated by it. But my sister's gone. She's like, she's taken off to the backyard. So I followed her to the backyard. And we start pounding on that back door for somebody to wake up. My mom opens the back door and she's like, what the hell are you doing? And we start screaming that something came out of the portal. So like I said, this place was really haunted, and we kind of came up with this theory that there was a portal at that lamppost down the street because that lamppost would flicker. So that was the only proof that we had that there was a portal because it would flicker. But we were kids and, you know, it was all this paranormal stuff we were dealing with. And, you know, we deduced it to some kind of crazy portal. So we were telling her that there was a portal or something came out of the portal. We don't know what it was. And we run to the bay window in the kitchen that faced out the front yard to show her what we were talking about, and it was gone. The only thing that I could think of is that once we started running, it freaked out and took off.
So this thing was flying at, towards you guys? Okay.
So very slowly, I want to, there's a bunch, we have a bunch of questions. So you're saying it's about 12 feet tall with about that 2 foot gap at
underneath,
the bottom.
Between it and the road.
Triangular round shape, it kind of gives to me the, like, the Portuguese man-o-war vibe. You know, they're kind of pyramidal, but they're very round. You know, they're fleshy. They're very rounded animals, but they have that kind of pyramidal shape. But then they're also gaseous filled. When you say layers, do you mean stacked layers or do you mean internal layers?
Well, what do you mean by internal layers?
Like, where could you see stuff moving inside of it? Was that the stuff you were seeing moving, or was it all externally moving, or like the stuff that wasn't moving
externally.
In secret?
Externally.
Okay. So it had its skin or whatever, you know, was had all these parts that were seemingly not moving, maybe in sequence, but forming one body.
And was the whole outside moving or just the bottom half, like the bottom of it, closer to the road?
The whole outside was moving.
Moving like that wave pattern you were saying?
Yeah.
Okay, undulating. Like cilia, that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, I mean, big bacteria.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the thoughts.
A big amoeba.
These things could be is those atmospheric amoebas. Literally, it's a book over there. One of the first books to really dive into this subject specifically. And you said this color was a pale white.
Yeah, it was white.
Yeah. What's your next question?
White, but see-through, right? Or no?
No.
Not see-through at all?
So it was pretty... It wasn't transparent.
Okay.
Which is pretty rare for these guys.
Yeah.
For this type, this thing.
Well, we've seen some of them that have that cloud kind of...
Ruined it.
Yeah, shoot.
Yeah, I think you got me.
Uh-oh.
I cheated because I read the encounter.
Okay.
But... Save the cloud thing for just a minute.
I mean, a cloud of excitement that we're embarking upon.
So it was kind of moving at you pretty slow, but how wide do you think the creature was? You know, you said it's probably 12 foot tall with that 2 foot gap. How wide do you think it was coming down the street?
So it took up more than half of that road.
So fairly big.
Yeah.
It was fairly big.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you have any questions before we get into that thing?
Huh. No, I mean, okay. I feel like I'm picturing it in my head very well.
Yeah. I personally, what I think was happening, you remember Christina's encounter?
From Australia, Christina?
No, Christina from Cincinnati, Christina.
Oh, okay. Yes, I do, actually.
Yes. Yeah. That's what it reminded me of, exactly.
Okay.
So our friend...
Going through the wood, the trees, the tree
had
line.
Our friend had seen... a cloud during a tornado storm get knocked out of the sky, hit like the middle of the street, and quickly kind of float down the street and hide into the tree line to where then it changed the texture to match the trees. I kind of think maybe something similar has happened here with these jellyfish type entities. In the upper atmosphere, they camouflage, right? We say they look like clouds. They can change their external. I kind of wonder if you caught it changing from cloud to something else. So all these movements and layers on the skin are actually these micro muscles changing the physical texture of the skin. That's why it looks all, you know, waves and stuff like that. It's trying to adapt. And I'm stuck down here now. I got to look like something. Yeah. And now these kids are screaming at me. So when your mom came out, it was probably still there, but didn't look like a cloud anymore, or didn't look like this big white triangle anymore. It could have been, you know, mimicking the trees behind it. Because we've talked, you know, with these things, they'll almost panic like an octopus will, and just be like, okay, everybody can see me. Yeah. I got to pick something to look. And that's exactly what happened with Christina. So was there, that previous night, previous couple days even, were there any storm systems that went through or anything like that? I know it's a long time ago.
Not that I can recall.
Yeah.
And what's Arizona, too? I mean, the weather's not too crazy out in Arizona, right? It's pretty predictable.
Well, we have our monsoon season.
Right.
And that gets pretty crazy.
But you know when that season is. It's not like in the, you know.
A freak storm.
Yeah, outside of that.
Right.
But, yeah, immediately that's what I thought of is Christina's encounter. It reminds me so much of Robin's encounter.
And two, I had a question. The area it was in, was it like a residential area with a lot of houses? Was it pretty spaced out?
No, it's residential.
Okay.
I actually still live in the neighborhood. I just don't live in the same house.
Yeah.
And just up the street, like a quarter of a mile from that old house, is the freeway.
Oh, so very busy.
It's,
yeah, it's a very busy area. Wow. So that's why I said in my email, I always tried to wonder, why would it be there?
Right.
And then that's when I, after listening to you on Uncomfortable, that's when I thought, was it trying to eat us? You know, because it was dawn, right?
Yeah.
We were the only ones there. Maybe it saw us and was like easy prey because there's nobody around but then.
So the living clouds, there's a big mixture of both in that camp. So where there are stories of them eating people.
People or just
animals whatever, things, whatever. Because yeah. They kind of do this. If all the encounters are true or most of them are true, whatever, they'll kind of sponge up an area where corals, for example, a very simple animal, but they're really good at this. They can actually turn like the outsides of their stuff really acidic, the outsides of their body really acidic. They turn their outsides of their body into stomachs. They use stomach acid to fight and dissolve other corals. So they're kind of eating with the outside of their body.
Right.
So these living fogs or living clouds, like the pink mist of Ireland, has never really... People are scared of it. They talk about it eating people, but they say how you avoid being hurt by it is you lay down flat. And a couple of the eyewitnesses that have survived into modern day to kind of talk about it say it felt like a giant's dog's tongue.
Or cat's tongue.
Or cat's tongue.
Yeah.
Going over your entire mm-hmm. body. Where it was mm-hmm. it was wet and hot, but it still had roughness to it.
Like that texture.
And you know, and they all survived because they went over top. Then the fog in Florida, nothing survived that. It was just in there for, what was it? We talked about it. It was a long time ago. Maybe at 4 years, 5 years. It was like maybe a juvenile one, because it wasn't very big.
Yeah, the small. Yeah.
But it would literally leave cleaned bones behind. And it reminded me very much of like a big amoeba. You know, it's just using the front of its body to shove into things that it can break down and dissolve. But they're not very fast. Nobody that's ever had one of these encounters with this big or small one say that they're extremely quick. So a lot of it's just animals like squirrels or turkeys that may not be paying attention to something that looks more gaseous, more like a cloud. When people tend to be like, that
don't look right.
That don't look right. Like the thing coming for you. So in all honesty, it could have, and we don't know how they view the world, like as in, is it thermal? Is it, you know, echolocation? Is it visual? We don't know what senses they have to interpret.
Electromagnetic.
Yeah. We don't know what senses they're using to hunt or detect prey or to avoid things. So it could have sensed you and your sister, and it could have been curious where it was coming over just to see what it was. And then you guys got up and freaked out, and that could have freaked it out. Or it could have been this slow, giant, amoeba-like creature hunting you guys. And it's probably a good thing you noticed it. I mean, we've talked about it, that missing 411 and all this stuff.
Yeah.
How many people are camping and just didn't notice the cloud sneaking up on them?
Why would you?
I mean, to you, I guess what feelings did you get from it when you've seen it? I would love to see one of these things. We've talked so much about it, done so much research. So what, I guess...
I was honestly amazed. I was fascinated. If it wasn't for my sister running, I don't think I would have ran.
Yeah.
I would have probably been eaten. I don't know. But, you know, I probably would have tried to get closer to it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people, I run into the danger.
But you felt it was an animal of some kind and you've seen it. You had that feeling?
Yeah, because like I said in my email, you know, I've dealt with ghosts all my life. I've dealt with so much paranormal stuff. And this one encounter was so different. It didn't feel, to be honest, it didn't feel paranormal.
Right.
It felt like seeing a rare animal in the wild. That's what it felt like to me.
Which... like we told you off air, when this comes out the same week as there are another installment of the Sky Manta Rays, which are a little bit different than the type you've seen as far as we can tell from our research. But it's so awesome how many people have that feeling seeing these things.
Yeah.
Through different countries, different parts of the world. Like, it's insane that how many people describe it kind of the same way you're describing. It's like seeing a whale. You know, you're not, it's huge. You're not scared of the thing, but it, you know, a whale can kill you as fast as it, you know, can flinch. But people look at them and, you know, they're like, oh, this is so awesome to be around this thing. Because they're not going to ever hurt you on purpose kind of deal, you know. And whether it was hunting you or it got stuck down there.
Or just curious, yeah.
Now, I do have another question.
Ooh.
What's with the manta ray episode? Are there any bodies of water nearby?
Where we are now? I mean, there's large man-made lakes a few miles north.
So that seems to be in the drier states, including like in drier countries like Australia. It's mountain ranges and large bodies of water are where these guys are seen by a lot. And we don't know if they may be, we talked about it in that episode, that they may be skim feeding to where if times are tough, they may be able to kind of skim the surface of the water and filter out plankton and all kinds of stuff. But that may make them really heavy until they're done digesting. So they may not be able to get back up, you know, until they're done with that. So there could be that where it was...
Yeah, he could have been just taking a stroll through the neighborhood.
Well, you know, trying to digest, and, you know, now there's kids screaming at it, and it's like, ah, gosh.
It's like,
I don't know what to do.
No one's usually out this early.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back and hide in the woods. or reproductive things. We talk, and I don't think man-made versus natural really matters for the either one of those, if you can fly. You know, when we talk about some of the other species... using man-made lakes, why they struggle so much is because they have to use waterways to get there.
Right.
So if you man-make it, you know, there's not those natural pathways to get there. If you can fly,
it's no
problem. It really doesn't matter as long as there's food there. Because there was a lot with the manta rays being around water sources. The one from there, I believe it was the Kentucky one with the ovipositor.
Oh, yeah.
Literally almost the same story.
Yeah.
It was a different shaped animal.
Yep.
Same story as you just shared with us, that this giant manta ray was coming basically down the street, hovering really low. And the lady just felt, she's like, it's like she described it like you described, you know, seeing a whale, and just this, but it's huge, the size of a Boeing, you know, this animal she's seeing. And she doesn't get in her house, doesn't freak out, just is sitting there, just like, wow. And it was dragging an organ behind it. She's like, I don't know if it was tail or legs and stuff like that. And we talk about it in the episode being an ovipositor. I don't know if you know what that is.
No.
So a lot of invertebrates and some large animals, including things like sauropods, they had a little bit different, it's a different name, but same thing. It is a sexual organ to deposit eggs. So crickets, for example, how do you tell a male and female cricket is crickets lay their eggs deep in the ground. So a cricket will have a long, people call them tails, but it's the ovipositor. It looks like a needle off the back of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a female. So she'll stick that needle into the ground so she can lay her eggs deep. So this big manta ray was, when she described it, was literally coming off of a river. And she's like, ah, there's a river down there, maybe a quarter mile, 2 miles away, something like that. But it was started off the ground, probably, I think she was talking like, now I can't remember, we recorded it a couple days ago. For like 14 feet off the ground, but by the time it got between her and her neighbor's house, it was above the houses.
Going up, yep.
Slowly like working its way back up into the atmosphere.
Slowly ascending.
And I wonder, we have so many accounts like that, whether it's the Christina's one where, you know, it was injured, what we think, because it freaked out really fast. Your encounter, which we don't know what it was doing there. We don't know if it wanted to eat you or if it... maybe it was laying eggs or, you know, it was digging through the trash.
Or just enjoying a morning stroll.
There's a whole thought that these things, these giant amoeba more things, and more like the manta rays or the sky snakes or whatever, but the more amoeba-like things, maybe just eating off of human garbage. They may just be there at night going through dumps and like oil pits and stuff like that. Stuff that humans may not even realize are food. But when you're a more basal animal, it is a food source. Long, long time ago, we did oil pit squids. Remember that?
Yeah, long time ago.
And these squid-like animals living in oil pits, and it turned out, in my opinion, it was a type of worms that I seen in my line of work previously. That they love petroleum. They don't care. They'll be in petroleum products. They'll sit in vats of oil. So
and thrive.
Yeah. Another thing. When you've seen the layers on the skin moving in a way, it was kind of, how big would you say each layer was, I guess? I'm just trying to picture it in my head.
from where we were to where it was, it looked pretty wide. Like each layer was
pretty thick.
Goodness. Yeah, pretty thick.
Okay. Another thought I had was the cyanophores.
Okay.
Is, you know, so I mentioned one earlier. The man of war, which people think is a jellyfish, and it's not, looks very jellyfish-esque, but it's actually a cyanophore, which is a colony of smaller animals, all kind of basically holding hands to make one big body. So when you describe these multiple layers kind of doing their own thing in forming one big body, that's kind of maybe one of the thoughts I had. Is it maybe a type of atmospheric cyanophore? And whether they're hurting or panicked or whatever, and everybody's just trying to figure out what everybody else is doing. Because there's normally governing set, like governing animals inside these things. They kind of tell everybody, okay, this is what everybody needs to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very interesting.
I'm still thinking more the amoeba-like thing with its movement, you know.
Sure.
In a wave pattern like that. Just, you think it's navigating the atmosphere, or is that for something else?
I have no idea. Right, yeah. The wave, so I really believe these things, these type, like you've seen, these, the triangle shape is pretty unique.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't have wings or nothing like that, like the manta ray shapes, right?
Correct.
Okay, just want to make sure. Because the amoebas are normally not a very hard shape.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why it makes me wonder if it was trying to camouflage.
Oh, just
it was
working.
It was really trying hard to pick something.
Get the
so
texture
it could hide.
Right. Yeah.
Because they're normally like very, almost like an egg. Like when you crack an egg, you know, the edges are pretty much like liquid. Even though it's all held together by a membrane, it looks like it's liquid splaying out. And then the internals, the big center. Did you, I know you said you didn't see any eyes or anything like that. Did you see any distinctive colorings, anything different on the outside appearance?
No, just the white color, like you're talking about the egg and the clearness. It didn't have that where it was like splayed out like that. You could see it was pretty solid all around.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, nothing too distinct.
It almost makes me think it was like tensed up.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm trying to hold this shape. I'm trying to do something. Mm. And that could have been from camouflage. It could have also been because it was moving down the street.
Yeah.
There are hard objects like the light post, trash cans, fire hydrants that we talk about with these atmospheric creatures. They're probably pretty soft. So running into hard metal, non-movable objects
doesn't feel very good.
It's going to hurt if not kill.
Yeah. Rip it apart.
So it may have been like a fat man does. I can speak from experience. When you try to suck in a little bit to get around stuff, and you know, it's like, oh,
y'all tensed up.
Yeah,
you're undulating.
Yeah, well, it happens.
Yeah,
it happens. I don't know, it's very interesting. You have anything else?
There was like some sort of video or something to compare it to, or I don't know, just something. Have you ever seen anything online that looks even remotely similar to what you saw?
No, and you know, I spent a lot of time just this past year trying to find something. I even went on an AI generator and put in the description of it.
Yeah.
It couldn't even generate the picture of it. So I was like, no, I could never find anything. There is an interesting story, though. You guys are talking about the manta rays. Earlier this year, there was a news story of an older woman living at home alone, and this was around 7 a.m. in the morning. I don't remember where in the valley she lived, but she said it sounded like bombs were hitting her house, and it had this loud booming sound kept happening repeatedly over and over again, and she was just so scared she didn't know what to do, and then it stopped. And later that day, one of her neighbors came and said, hey, did you know there's damage to your roof? And they showed pictures of her roof, and it was quite damaged. But nobody's security cameras in her neighborhood caught anything on her roof around this time. But she heard it. She heard something was hitting her roof, causing all this damage over and over and over again. And when I heard that story, that's what I thought. I thought some kind of sky jelly.
It's beating up on the roof. And I think you may be right. I don't know if we've ever shared this publicly on the show because we've never done an episode on it yet, and it's just one we haven't got around to yet. I kind of think they may be responsible for the real crop circles.
Oh, gotcha.
Because I think, we talk about, so the white spotted pufferfish, for example, is a fish about the size of your hand. You know, they're very, very, they're very tiny fish, relatively speaking, and for the ocean. They make, we didn't know what these patterns were forever. Have you ever seen their nest? You ever seen the picture of the pufferfish nest? They can be up to 110 feet wide. They have intricate patterns. You've seen like crocheted doilies and stuff like that with like the patterns. Yeah. They look kind of like that. Each pufferfish does its own pattern. It's hyper unique. We thought they were man-made, alien-made. Ancient Aliens a long time ago had an episode about it before we knew who was doing it.
Really?
Yeah. Saying that these are underwater crop circles.
Well, ancient astronaut theorists say yes.
It was not a fish. They'll even go out of their way to collect stuff like gold and put it in the grooves to make them extra shiny and stuff like that. So my thought is that the real, and I have a lot of opinions about crop circles because I do believe 80% are fake-ish. You know, that somewhere in there, I think a lot of them are just people goofing off. But the weird ones where the stalks are almost like melted and bent in a weird way, sure, you know, there's something there.
There's a big difference between there, authentic and...
But I think it's 80-20 or 85-15, somewhere in there.
I'm disappointed in you. You'll turn.
No.
Well, you'll turn over.
I think that they may be mating displays for these creatures. And they build them because if you, everybody's like, you can only see this thing from the sky.
Right.
Well, yeah. So if you're, it's the biggest environment, the upper atmosphere. You've heard us talk about it. Everybody at home has heard us talk about it. If this is your first intro to this episode, please, we have like 12, 15 hours on upper atmospheric animals. Start somewhere else. Because we're skipping a lot of stuff to get to here.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I kind of think that they may build these big things and hang out around the top of them. Because they're partially, you know, we talk about lazy guys are translucent. So finding a mate can be really hard in the biggest environment on the planet. Right now we have blue whales that can't find other blue whales, and they can talk for over 1,000 miles away from each other.
Would their patterns all be the same?
No, though? I think they'd be, I think they can be. I think it would be, it could be species-oriented. Yeah. It could be individual-oriented. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of questions there that...
We should do, like, some research, like, get measurements of all the crop... Nah,
we'll come back to that.
Compare it to the other... The pufferfish.
So I think they do... I think they are building them, and they have some kind of enzyme that may help them bend the stalks and not break stuff and all this stuff. And they kind of hang out in the sky around them so the females or the other opposite sex can see this on the ground and see how big and strong... Normally, it's a male doing this, so how big and strong the male is. Because stuff like, we know now, like Quetzalcoatlus, big pterosaurs, they did this, where they would build on beaches these big displays. And they, because they're giant flying animals, it's very hard for them to find mates.
Like an SOS.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So a female would be flying over down the coast and see this. Okay, now I know there's an available male, you know, here.
Like, that looks pretty.
But she can also tell a lot about his health. By how big the logs are, or how, like, for these guys, it may be how complex the design is.
That made me think of something, too. A lot of the UFO sites that are, I'd say, considered real have, like, the nodes, you know, where they're swollen, or there's radioactivity.
Yeah, and we think these guys eat radioactivity. Like, well, they're living in environments that are super radioactive.
Well, here's a thought, though. Same thing with Mothman, when people, you know, get close.
Yes.
What if these creatures are from, you know, other dimension kind of things? And that's, like she said, the portal, it did come through the portal and, like, made itself apparent. Or what if it just navigates in that way, shape, or form? What if they're cleaners of the Earth, you know, like...
So, dimensional bacteria is another thing. We'll come back. Let's hop back to the roof.
Okay.
So, I wonder if it could have been one of these creatures literally beating the crap out of this roof.
What if it was injured and it was trying to get up?
That could be, that too. It's thought. Literally there flapping like a dolphin on the beach.
Landed.
They're very strong, but, you know, if they're stuck, they're stuck.
Yeah.
It could be that, or the display, or even bull elephants, for example, young bull elephants, they're really bad for the environment because they get these testosterone flares, and they'll kill cows, they'll kill calves, they'll kill, you know, they'll rip up trees out of the ground. They're highly destructive when they're trying to make that transition from being a juvenile to an adult bull.
Yeah.
It could be something like that, where this is a young, you know, adult or young adult trying to make that transition, has maybe a lot of sexual frustration, found a house to beat the hell out of. Something, it's close to its size.
Oh, no.
And it starts punching this house.
I hope punching it with its fists.
Oh, it could be something else too.
Yeah.
Maybe
she painted it the wrong color.
It could be like ducks. And it thought that house was really pretty.
Yeah.
No, I love that. I think it could be any of it.
Maybe it was its ovipositor that was making
ovipositor just smack on the roof.
Yeah, to deposit eggs in their house, in their attic.
Now, before we continue any further, I want to ask you, how do you now? Because I didn't really give you any information in the emails what I thought. Because I don't. Because you were going to come on and talk, so I really didn't want to. Now that we've talked about it a minute, do you have any opinions that have changed or any new thoughts that have come? Sorry, Wi-Fi dropped.
No. Since I wrote the email, I thought, because there was, I listened to too many paranormal podcasts. Somebody did the Hitchhikers episode.
Okay.
Mm. Right, just recently. And so that made me wonder, because you guys, you know, said maybe it was a portal. So what if because the house was so haunted, what if it was like a Hitchhikers, you know, scenario?
Now,
one came before the other.
So have you ever heard my Bigfoot encounter on our show? Have you got that far back yet?
No.
So I grew up in an extremely demonic haunted house. Also had Bigfoot stuff. So I do, to me, that my Bigfoot was, and we talk about the three types of Bigfoot, you know, ish, you know, the rough three types. I really thought my Bigfoot was flesh and blood. But doesn't mean it's not connected to the paranormal stuff that happened at the house. I think there are, so in physics, there are forces that are newly discovered all the time that change or adapt the old laws of physics all the time. Some scientists act like that doesn't exist, what I just said. Mm. Others are really open about it. And we know we have a pretty big scientist following now. Which is crazy, because it's a lot of open-minded scientists that have experienced these things, and they know half of their community won't accept, like, no, the laws of physics have always been the same. No, they change, like, every 4 or 5 years. Something happens where they change. So I kind of wonder if there is a fundamental force that is hidden as of now that pulls what we would call things like paranormal entities, whether it's your sky jellyfish, your haunted house, your hitchhikers, the black-eyed kids, kind of have these, almost like magnetism for those type of things, where you have these areas where it could be a house, it could be a person, it could be a whole, like the Hockomock Swamp, you know? I don't know how big or small
these areas
can be. I wonder if it's something like that, to where you have, and it can affect supernatural animals, is kind of, I guess, the best way to call it. These animals that are extra. So whether it's a giant atmospheric jellyfish, he's just hanging around, and he may not even know why he's there, kind of deal. We talk about it with like sharks and magnets, for example. It really screws with their head. It'll both attract, depending on your magnet, you can attract them or repel them, and they don't even know it's happening.
Right.
You can, like, sharks will literally murder themselves on buoys and stuff like that because of, like, a small magnet, because it fries their head. But you can also attract them with small magnets, too, and they don't know what they're following. I wonder if there's something there with that, with the paranormal, whether it could be portals, where they're coming through from somewhere else, just because the portal's attractive.
Right, exactly.
Whether it's, you know, it smells good, like there's like a food source on the other side, kind of deal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a bear, you know, a bear's going to follow its nose.
Wherever it goes.
Yeah, nowhere it goes. But a bear's going to go wherever food, it smells like food.
Mm-hmm.
So if you eat trash or trash-like things,
you're going to go to it.
A portal opens up to our world. That smells like, really good.
Yeah, it smells like trash.
A lot of petroleum.
Do electromagnetic waves affect light waves at all?
Okay, I'm not a physicist. Light, I'm not sure. Electromagnetic waves affect a lot of things.
Right, yeah.
Including gravity.
What if she is near some portal area where... And what causes a portal, you know? Is it electromagnetic anomaly?
I think it's electromagnetic anomalies. Well, we've talked about that in the Skinwalker Ranch series.
What if she was, like, looking... They just got the right angle, caught it, and, you know,
they
that
could
light...
see in it?
That light flickers?
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe that's when it flickers when it spikes or strong, when that veil's thin. What if these things are always just there, but the perspective she was looking at it through made it visible in our light spectrum just for those moments?
So that they... They talk about that with the military when they first did infrared. You know, infrared's green now. It's not red.
Right. It's like a
it's green.
Right. It's like night vision, right?
Yeah. So when it was infrared, they would say they would see demons in the sky all the time. People, like whole platoons, would shoot at things they couldn't see. And they switched it to green, and that stopped. So, like you're saying, what if they're always there? And she, you, Robin, got the small chance, the right conditions. She was looking right at it the right way.
Like when you're spraying your hose and the mist settings just
and the
right.
Rainbow
and
the,
yeah, and the yeah. rainbow sees it. Yeah.
And she got to see one of these things. It was always probably there. You know, it was always maybe makes that same path every night.
Right, yeah. It's morning walk.
It's a morning walk. It's going for a jog.
You guys ruined it.
but if, you know, true infrared, like they banned from a lot of military exercises unless it's like super black ops.
Oh, really?
Because it's a lot better.
Yeah.
So why would the military get rid of it?
Something
and somebody's
going to
write in that I'm wrong about that. That's fine. Please. I know we have a lot of military, ex-military, active military. If I'm wrong, let me know. You know how to do it. Email cryptsofcornpodcast@gmail.com.
There you go.
I just read a whole bunch of corrections the other day.
That's good, though.
I if you email me the correction, I'll read it on the...
Yeah, absolutely.
The
goal
is...
Mine's
not mean about it. Lungs are not hurtful.
Then you just delete it and then tell me about it.
I do delete a lot of things, just so everybody knows.
Tell me about it maybe two or three times, and then you're over it.
Yeah, I'm over it. I don't care anymore. The portal. Yeah. I don't know. This is really interesting so far.
It is, yeah.
I don't, you have a lot
well,
of.
Well, I have something to add to that if
yes,
you guys
yes,
want to
please.
Hear. So, a couple years ago, we lived at this house just for a year because in this part of town, there was so much construction we couldn't handle it. So, we're like, forget it. We're moving back to our old part of town. But in this house, it was weird because it was like living in somebody's memories. And I would hear things like people singing or somebody talking very happily. And I would feel there was this one time where I felt like this electrical charge when I was hearing these voices. And then I started having these dreams. And in this one dream, I walked up to a window in this house, but instead of looking outside, I was looking into a messy bedroom, and one of my sisters was there, but she was much younger, and she's playing with our dog Peanut, who has since passed away. And she looks over at the window and she makes eye contact with me, and she slowly stands up, and I can see she is so scared.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.
And that dream felt so real, I couldn't get it out of my mind the next day. And then I remembered that sister told me about a woman who pressed herself up against the window in that bedroom of that old house.
Wow.
With the portal. And then I remembered seeing a full-figured apparition in that house of a woman who looks like me now.
Oh, you time
but at
traveled.
At that time, I didn't register that's me. I was like, you know,
right,
Jesus
you
be
know
gone.
You don't know what you're going to look like.
Yeah.
No, that's...
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. And so you time traveled through
in
your
dream. Yeah.
Yeah.
In a dream.
I really think it's something with these portal areas. Why? So where we never got to it. Why did you guys decide there was a portal down there? Just because of the light?
Just because so much stuff would happen, and then that light would flicker, and we would like, it was the only light that flickered on the street, and we were like, that there's got to be a portal there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was there was a man that I would see almost nightly on a bike, and he had like a fisherman's hat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he would come every night right in front of the house, a young man. And then one night, I'd catch him riding the bike, but his face is like doing this, right? Like I can't make it out anymore. And I, you know, was like squinting and leaning closer into the window. And it was like, I couldn't make out his face anymore. And then the next day he was an old man riding a bike with a fisherman's hat on. And ever since then, he was an old man riding the bike.
So you got time slips and giant jellies. What if
in a very populated area?
We talked about this a long time ago. This thought I'm about to say, and we already said it once in this episode, that these interdimensional like bacteria, where they may be feeding on like a festering wound in reality.
Mm.
And we haven't talked about that since probably the second episode we ever did on this.
Mm-hmm.
That if you have these portals areas, these tear like and I've called them tears personally. Because I think there's natural ones that it, like the Earth just has for whatever reason, whether a meteor hit there, you know, 200 million years ago, or some, you know, volcano erupted, you know, or whatever, you know. Or we talked about under Point Pleasant, where we think they opened one, like Stranger Things, where they basically forced a tear into whatever this fabric's the best word for it.
Sure, you know,
this material that kind of binds or separates realities. And these big amorphous things may be like bacteria, like in our wounds, that you know cause infections,
mm-hmm.
or that feed on it. You know, there's all this wounded material around that could be a food source leaking all kinds of radiations we can't even detect yet. You know, you're living out in one of the states that has like extremely high levels of weird cancer. We talked about that, you know, that whole the Four Corners area, like
mm-hmm.
of how much, and when nobody can explain it. Or, you know, really can explain it. We talked about that, I think, at the very end of the Uinta Basin saga.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it was the very end.
The very end, because it was the missing people and, sorry, it was the missing people and the cancer rates.
Because
it's mm-hmm. crazy. It's insane.
Correlated.
So what if it's a tear? Your guy, the time slip, the old man, young man, he may not have even been real. You know, we talk about these residual hauntings that where, because you've seen him doing the same exact thing every day, right?
Same exact thing. And I never saw him outside of that moment.
So that, to me, screams residual haunting. Not conscious, yeah. You know, nothing's, in my opinion, nothing's really there. It's kind of like a flashpoint on the Earth to where it's like a photo where, whatever reason, it just keeps repeating. You time-slipped yourself, it seems, whether, you know, I don't know what you call that. You're sleepwalking, like not sleepwalking as in getting up and walking in your sleep. Like people can almost astrally project why they're asleep.
Well, I have a waking time slip story if you want to hear that one. Yeah,
definitely.
Absolutely.
I have a lot of crazy stories.
Or just keep going. I love it. Because it's yeah. The more you're doing, the more it really does seem connected. If you first just say it, you know, it really, it can come off not, I guess, not connected, right? Like mine, Bigfoot, and Shadow Person.
Overlapping, though.
Right, but they overlap, but not... But she's... this portal thing, even though it sounds like there may be just this spot.
Right.
I think you may have a demon buried in your street, is what I'm getting at.
Oh, okay.
No, continue. Sorry.
Okay, so this was about 2011. We had just had our second kid, and we wanted to move into a bigger place. We were living in a two-bedroom apartment with one kid, so we wanted to move into a bigger place, and we went to look at a townhome, and we walked in. You know, they were showing us the home that was available, and we walked in, and it had that musty, moldy smell,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they're showing us around, and we get to the living room area, and I look down at the carpet, and I'm like, oh, man, this is what smells. We're going to have to wash this carpet before we move in. So then we leave, and we're talking about how, yeah, we want the place. But I tell my husband we're going to have to wash that carpet. And he said, in what room? And I said, the living room. It smelled musty, like they used dirty water to wash it. And he said, Robin, there wasn't carpet in the living room. And I was like, okay, try to gaslight me. There was garbage in the living room. And we have to wash it. And he was like, no, babe, there wasn't any carpet in that living room. And he knew of the townhome community because he had used to live there with his dad and brothers. And he was like, they used to have carpet, but then there was a period where they were upgrading all the townhomes and they went through and pulled the carpet. And I was like, well, they didn't pull the carpet in this one. And, you know, it became this thing where he swore there was no carpet in there. I swore there was. And then when we get to moving in, I was like, I'm going to show you. And we get in there and there's no carpet.
Wow.
Was the smell still there?
But I stood on carpet.
Yeah.
What was that?
Was the smell still there?
No, the smell wasn't there.
Yeah, a big mix of different senses.
It's very weird.
I mean,
yeah.
Is it though?
I mean, with everything we've heard and seen, no.
I know. At this point.
But yes, it is.
It is. It is weird. Do you think that... Now, when you grew up in the haunted house, were other people experiencing the haunted stuff as well, besides you?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. Because we've met several people. I fully believe everybody.
Oh, yeah. Or...
Of the group I'm about to talk about.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
That I do think it's connected to some people. Like people that, and there's people that want attention and everything like that in this field, and that's fine. It's whatever. But we have people that I believe that have Bigfoot encounters pretty regularly, see ghosts and all, you know, and it's more, it's them. Not saying that they're experiencing these things, whether they're more open to it, or I kind of really think it's like brain problems, but not like in a bad way. Like,
have brain problems.
No, like mutations in our optic nerves, or mutations in something to where we may be getting a little bit more
information
than the average person. Or, and we talked about it with like the duck test. Where, you know, when you're driving down the highway and you see a pond on the side of the road and they're all mallards or they're all Canadian geese. Until you look and sometimes there's not even a mallard in there. There's purple-headed geese. You know, there's all kinds of crazy colors. But 2 minutes before that, you'd swear...
All mallards.
All, you know, green-headed ducks. So that's the normal human brain. I do think some humans are born with it where you don't have that filter to where you get it how it is. Because our brain wants the easiest path. So if the easiest path is if you see a shadow move, okay, the easiest path is to just not pay attention to that. That didn't happen. You know, you're mistaken. Me, you, Jay, whatever, you know, we see a shadow move, I'm going, and I'm dealing with that, you know, right now. So that you stepped on carpet, you smelled it. You had a full time slip. So how long had it been, did he say, since they pulled up the carpet?
I think a few years.
What do you think about that?
I don't know. I mean, I believe you. I just don't know how to even... I can't even imagine experiencing that. Because you walked on it, right? Or did you just see it?
I walked on it.
Yeah.
No, I walked on it.
I can't imagine.
Well, you remember, we did the time slip episode for Patreon.
I guess I can't even imagine how I would feel walking, you know, knowing I walked on this. Being adamant about it and then going back and seeing.
Well, I can see why she thought her husband gaslighted her, because I could do that. Me and Emily do that to each other all the time.
Absolutely.
All the time.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you don't even do it on purpose.
I know, yeah.
We're both very strong personalities.
And then you walk in the room, oh, okay, never mind.
Whoever's wrong will never admit it.
Nope. No, just walk away.
Like, ah, no, there was carpet here.
It's like, no,
you pulled it up.
Yeah.
You pulled it up while I was sleeping.
Yep.
No, a waking time slip. And so with time slips, we talked about it where one of the really famous ones we covered in the Patreon episode was that military platoon in the UK. They were doing like these, it was like a contest for basically, I'm trying to compare, like the army when you're still encamped and training.
Okay.
They do these contests here in America to like get from point A to point B or whatever. So these guys were doing that for the UK's army, for England's army. And they were going through the British countryside and they came into this weird small town and they said, you know, there was a weird transition. Like they had a really strong smell, and they never really went into what it sounded like, because this is like the 70s, I think. So they never really talked about if it smelled like mold or, you know, what the smell was. But they had a really strong smell, and then they went into town, They talked to the butcher. You remember that? They talked to all these people.
Mm-hmm.
They left town. They were like 4.5 hours late. They were fighting with their sergeant saying, no, we weren't. Like, no, we walked straight here. We went through the town. We walked straight here. We talked to everybody. Go ask them. We just walked right through town. Well, the town was a historical site. Nobody had lived there in 400 or 500 years. And so they experienced like this flashback.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a whole town, like the butcher shop, like everything was still ish the same, but it's like a living museum. Like there's nobody there though.
Yeah.
But they said they watched a guy butcher a pig. Like they're like, that's really weird that they're doing it in public. Like,
still active.
Like, yeah, like they're, you know, actively processing an animal where the public can see.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I kind of, it's amazing. It's just, but other people have experienced what you experienced, you know. It's interesting that it was an individualized level, though.
Right, yeah.
Because her husband didn't experience it.
Mm-hmm. Like, inhabiting the same space but having separate experiences.
Yeah, it's very unique. Right. I love it.
Yeah, it's great. Keep them. What's the next one?
So the next one.
This is called the Book of Robin.
Ever since that house with where I was having the dreams, I still have these crazy vivid dreams. And for a while I was having this one where I was in a trailer park, which I didn't think anything of it because when I was a child, we spent a short time in a mobile home community.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just thinking, you know, having a dream being in a mobile home community is not a big deal. But then one night I am having this dream. Let me go into a little more detail. So every time I would have a dream with this trailer park, it was always nighttime, but it was super, super dark. And it was a big trailer park. And I would walk around happy, free flowing. There was only one time that I went into a trailer, but other than that, I was just walking around. And one night I have a dream where I'm walking in front of the trailer park with a sister. And I look at her and I say, hey, I know this place. Where are we? And she looks at me stone cold, not blinking, and goes, Roanoke. And I said, Roanoke? What's in Roanoke? And then I woke up. So after a little bit, maybe a few weeks, I decided to look up, you know, Roanoke, was it Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
Mobile home communities. And I'm just going through and looking at pictures, Google Map and everything. Yeah, nothing, nothing, nothing. And then I found it.
Wow.
And I go into Google Maps, you know, you could walk around.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that looks familiar. That person's yard looks familiar. That wind chime looks familiar. You know, like I know this place. And then I'm scanning like the perimeter kind of at an upward angle, and it's surrounded by these huge trees. And my thought was, no wonder it's so dark at night.
Mm-hmm.
And that thought coming so naturally freaked me out so bad, I closed out the browser and I didn't look it up again.
So you've never been to Roanoke in person?
Nope.
Yeah, that's a long way away.
Yeah.
I'm about to talk about something I have very limited understanding of. We have a friend, though, I'm going to suggest that she needs to probably talk to about that.
Yeah.
Do you know about astral projection at all?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what it sounded like to me. There's some that say you can do it with time. So like with your sister seeing you, you know, in the past, present kind of deal. You were in the present, she was in the past. The carpet, and then this, you know, ending up in a different space, a trailer park. Probably from you, I'm going to guess right around 3,000 miles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, almost the exact opposite side of the country.
Yeah.
It almost seems like you're maybe projecting. Like you or your spirit is ending up in these places. And obviously you're not doing it on purpose.
Right.
So I don't know if it's one of these things, like, you know, a baby has to learn how to walk, has to learn how to talk. It's a natural ability that they have, but they have to learn how to develop it. So like Atlas, my son, you know, he just screams. He knows how to use his voice. He doesn't know how to talk, but, you know, he just makes noise and stuff like that. I kind of wonder if you are one of these people born with this skill and you don't have it developed enough yet to control it, to end up where you want to go or pick, you know, these things, but you still do it. Like, you don't know you're doing it maybe sometimes. Like, the old guy you see, you know, he's always rides his bike the same day. The carpet, you know, Virginia, Roanoke, Virginia. You know, yeah. You're ending up in Roanoke. We, you know, which we love Roanoke.
Yeah, we've been there.
A bunch, yeah.
Yeah.
it's funny because it's not a very, it's a decent sized little city, but it's not like a metropolitan area.
Was that the
Southwest Virginia?
Southwest
Mike
Virginia.
And Karen,
okay,
yeah.
Yep.
I kind of wonder if you have that ability. And you may be more, or your whole family may be open to these paranormal things. I really think that paranormal activity happens to everybody everywhere their whole lives.
Just if you're aware of it or not.
Whether you're aware of it or not, you choose to accept it or not.
Right.
You know, because we talked about my grandpa, you know, when we first started doing this, I've never seen anything weird in my life. And then the more I started doing this and the more, you know, he started sharing, he's like, well, you know, I have seen a UFO, and we did have rock apes throw stuff, you know, and it's just like, the, you know, people always are experiencing things. Like, Bigfoot sightings are up 4,000% over the last couple decades. It's not, in my opinion, because people are seeing more Bigfoot. It's because it's more widely accepted to talk about.
Because our show, probably.
Yes, just us.
yeah, okay.
but no, it's you know, we're speakers at the Hocking Hills Bigfoot Festival. 75,000 people now show up for a Bigfoot festival. So 2 decades ago,
even Bigfoot might this year.
Even Bigfoot is there, but two decades ago that didn't happen. That there were festivals. Don't get me wrong, but it wasn't nothing
not
like
this.
That.
Yeah, it's really grown a lot. And
we sit down and we share. Like, you walk up to there'll be campfires and hangouts after and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you walk up to anybody and you're like, what do you think about Bigfoot? And they're happy to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2 decades ago, 3 decades ago, you know, that people, it would be very negative to come out talking.
For sure. I would say it's a modern day, very good icebreaker for.
The community we run.
Yeah, absolutely that. But
So I kind of wonder if you have that ability. Your whole family may have that ability. As far as I know, I think sometimes it is genetic. To where, like, if your mom or dad can do this thing, you know, you probably can do this thing. But if nobody's ever had trainings or, you know, whatever, develop that skill, it may just be happening. The friend I'm going to say, Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
She does it, I think, like a show where she astral projects. I think it's once every 2 months, like twice a month.
I'm not sure it's how often, but it's...
Jessica Jones, the Cryptid Huntress, love her to death, great, great lady. But I'll give you her contact information after this if you feel like you maybe want to talk to her about that. Because she's...
Okay, yeah.
I have a lot of mixed feelings about astral projection. I think there are a lot of snake oil salesmen.
Oh, for sure. But that's in anything.
In anything. But in that one, I think it's probably skewed a little bit more
like
towards
them. Like a
psychic? Them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, palm reader.
Yeah, those kind of things where you go to see like a television psychic.
Mm-hmm. Miss Cleo.
I'm getting a B name. I'm getting a B name. Oh, you know, my dad's name's Bill.
You're halfway there. You mean you got the bandana? All you need is the accent.
I'm summoning.
I don't know
what I was doing. So I really think maybe that may be something to look into for you. Like I said, that's what I just shared with you, Zeke, probably my whole extent of my knowledge on astral projection. but we, like I said, Jessica Jones, she's a great lady and good friend of the show. Love Jessica to death. But she's one of the ones I believe, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You know, because she gets really cool stuff.
Yeah.
I've never quizzed her or nothing like that, but I've watched her be kind of quizzed and prodded by other people, you know. Maybe we're a little bit more... I'm not aggressive when it comes to this stuff. I just don't care. Like, if you're going to lie about it or not, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
But some people that may be a little more aggressive, she answers questions really accurately and stuff like that. I don't know. What do you think about that?
No, yeah, that would be cool to get in touch with somebody who knows that stuff because, like I said, my dreams have only gotten more vivid and kind of crazy. And, you know, I lucid dream, and when I lucid dream... my marker to tell me I'm dreaming is light switches don't work.
Aha. Okay.
And so that's how I know I'm dreaming. And then I'm like, yeah, I do whatever I want, right? But there are these dreams, like the Roanoke dream, where I'm just there.
Right.
I don't recall. You know, it doesn't come to me that I'm dreamy. I can't control anything. Nobody sees me. And then the other night I had this dream where I was literally gone for almost 24 hours. I was with this family. The dynamic was so chaotic. I got so scared. I hid in their garage.
Wow.
And when I woke up, I was confused as to where I was, and then shocked that I realized it was a dream because I was there for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So were you interacting with the family, or were they interacting with you, or you were just kind of watching?
They didn't see me.
So
yeah, they couldn't see me.
I really think this could be some ghost.
Just astral projection.
Like
people's consciousness.
Yes. Like if you were in their house, like your spirit, your essence, whatever you want to go. You know, I don't know what you believe, but, you know, for me, it'd be your spirit is there. And maybe we talked about shadow people, for example, that they are probably not blacker than black. That's what everybody describes them. That's how I describe mine. Later on, we found out that is a function of the human brain that is not able to explain what it's seeing. What it does is it puts basically a black silhouette, a void, onto an identified threat, so you can deal with it. It's most of the time it's not probably blacker than black, but your brain is like, I know there's something right there, humanish. Deal with it. You know, whether you run away, you fight it, whatever. I'm just trying to tell you that there's a threat there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is built off of that. Like, have you ever felt like somebody's watching you?
Yeah.
So a lot of those things are. The primitive side of our brain will take pictures. Every time you're looking around, it takes pictures. And then next time you do it, it overlays the old picture and the new picture. And it looks for differences. If there's a difference, it lets you know. And that's one of the feelings it gives you. Like, hey, something way off in the background has changed. You know, it's time, like, most scientists believe it's from, like, when we have to deal with predators more often. Like, big cats, for example, would maybe poking out of the tree line looking at you, and then they pull their head back in.
And they're gone.
So, yeah, so now your brain's like, hey, heads up, there's a saber tooth somewhere, you know, close by. So, I wonder if you were a ghost for that family, and maybe the kids seen you, or maybe they didn't. Like I said, I really think you need to be open, I guess, to experience maybe the full array of things, like,
yeah,
but no, that's you were. I kind of think you were somebody else's ghost there for a minute.
I wonder if I was a ghost in that trailer park in Roanoke. If people see a ghost that looks like me, I'm sorry, I was didn't know what I was doing.
Remind me after this, we'll talk off air. I'll look up that trailer park and we'll do an episode of a ghost in that trailer park.
Oh,
I'm like. And I'll read one that matches your description and be like, and this one's name was Robin.
Yeah, they have it. It's very specific.
No, I really do think there is something to that. And it could be interdimensional beings doing it too. I'm not saying good, bad, indifferent kind of things. You know, I think a lot of the interdimensional guys are not good.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there are indifferent ones and maybe even good ones. Mothman's probably my best example for...
Indifferent.
Indifferent.
Yeah.
You know, some of the our favorite, I don't know if you, I mean, that was a long time ago. Our first ever season finale, we did the Mothman encounters. And we did a whole episode on ones that never get talked about. And this Mothman character was, most of the time was very scared, didn't bother anybody. So it wasn't, I think it was Linda Scarberry. The second time she seen the Mothman, that's the one that ran away in the car with the two couples that, you know, it was chasing them or whatever. They said it was chasing them. Her and her boyfriend seen it, or her and her husband seen it later. And she said it was squeaking like a mouse. And she said it was like it was asking for help. It seemed genuinely scared of where it was, not threatening it whatsoever. This black creature with these big red eyes and these giant demonic wings. Just, she's like, wasn't scared of it. If anything, it seemed it was scared of us, and it was like it was asking for help or something. And then they both got low levels of radiation poisoning. They both got immediately sick. They went to the hospital, and they both were treated for radiation poisoning. So I don't know. I wonder if, you know, the interdimensional stuff is connected with all of this, the astral projection stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just, they're maybe projecting here, and they don't know, like you didn't know, maybe if you were actually projecting to Roanoke. You didn't know you were doing that. you know, it freaks you out. Yeah. Or you end up in that family's house, it freaks you out. So the ghost, half the time the ghost is just as scared as you, apparently.
Just imagine hiding, like, as a ghost, like, in a closet just, from a family, like, yo, please don't sense me.
Well, after I screamed at my shadow man, that's where he went, it was the garage.
He's kind of mad at you. I'm going to the garage.
But we talked about shadow people, like, running away from people. Like, people running around the corner, and then, like, these shadow entities almost look like they're scared of you.
Yeah.
And then they bolt.
I've seen videos like that I think are authentic. Like, guy opens up basement door, you know,
and
there's something, like, kind of there, and then it just, it's
so what gone. If that was, you know, somebody like you, that, or, you know, something like that where somebody's astral projecting, they don't maybe not even know they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And now this big, weird-looking thing slams open a door and starts chasing you.
Right, yeah.
You're like, oh, you know, I don't know. Very interesting stuff.
Very, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, do you think it's all connected? Do you think it's you've just experienced a bunch of stuff in your life? Do you think you're open to it? I don't know. What's your idea for why you've had this myriad of encounters?
Well, if you want to know my very, very first story.
Yes, please.
It's a weird one, okay?
They've all been so normal.
I know, right? So I was... This is my very first memory. I woke up at about 4 years of age. I had just had a dream, but it was flashes of scenes that I can only deduce were memories. And I woke up and I didn't know who I was or where I was. And there was a group of beings in front of me, but they were all shrouded in shadow. And they told me my name. They told me I was at home. And I got out of my bed and I went to my doorway and I saw a little girl and I said, well, who is that? And they said, well, that's your sister. And they told me her name. And so I went up to her and I said, hey, when you woke up this morning, did you forget who you were? And she looked at me and said, you're weird. And she ran off. So this was my older sister. So she would have been about 5 or 6 at this time. The beings were still with me and they said, don't say anything. They're not ready to know yet. And I said, okay. And I took off and I was a 4-year-old kid.
Wow.
And I figure that's where all of this comes from.
I think you might be onto something here.
I think that's a pretty good look into it. Like, a council starts telling you stuff.
Are they ready now?
You know, I had this dream. Where these kids, but they weren't black-eyed kids because they didn't have a face. They didn't have a face.
I don't know what's worse. I don't know what's worse. Faceless kids or black-eyed right. kids.
Yeah.
But they came up to me and they said, if you keep looking into us, you're going to have weird storms. And in the dream, we were having weird storms. We were having rainbows that were falling apart and large gusts of wind that were taking the kids away. And shortly after that dream, we kept having rainbows in the sky and I was watching them and I started to notice that they weren't fading like a normal rainbow fades, you know? It was like splotches, like they were breaking up. They were fading in pieces. So I always wondered, like, was that them telling me? Because I've been more curious as to who were that group of beings, you know? As I get older, I've been more curious. And so I wondered, was that them, like, stop looking for us or something, you know?
I mean, now, I don't know how much you've looked into this, but it gives you very much abduction vibes.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, they talk about that. These beings will often say, like, don't look into us, you know, don't pursue this.
Mm-hmm.
They'll tell you, like, all kinds of stuff. And it, how you were telling it was very reminiscent of that. Whatever abductions are, I'm not a big believer that it's aliens, as in extraterrestrials from another planet inside of our galaxy or whatever.
Right.
They may be interdimensional. They may be paranormal. I don't know. I believe in abductions. I don't think they're aliens, if that makes any sense. Yeah. But abduction vibes, you know, similar things have happened, especially with kids. The abduction kid phenomena, because you were 4 years old, and this council, if they were good beings, for example, if this council is telling this to a four-year-old.
Shrouded in darkness.
Yeah. Shrouds of darkness.
Yeah.
And then if you look into us, you get these kind of vague threats. You know, that's, to me, doesn't scream supportive role model.
No.
You know, it's not like the Intergalactic Council or something. It's like, yeah, you're one of the special ones, you know.
Yeah. Where
you're going to be, you know, you're going to have a weird life, but it's good. You know, you're going to see some stuff. No, you look into us, you'll have weird storms.
Yeah.
And that's a, you know, a perfect analogy for kind of some stuff you've had in your life. You know, these weird storms, you know.
Yeah.
Of whether it's a giant flying jellyfish coming to eat you and your sister, or the reverse, or the man that keeps flashing, the carpet disappears. Yeah. And Roanoke itself, not, to me, we didn't even cover that. We talk about that. Roanoke is a weird place.
Mm-hmm.
Roanoke has had a lot of weird things happen. Like a whole bunch of people.
I had another weird dream shortly after the Roanoke revelation, where I was walking through my neighborhood with this Native American boy, whom I don't know in real life, but in the dream we were like romantically together, and we're walking past the freeway, and there is this giant man with a bird head, and he's carrying a hawk, and he, like, the hawk reaches up and bites his hand, and he gets mad and he like punts the hawk. And shortly after having that dream, I heard on another podcast some Native American girl that was unearthed in Virginia, I think, but I don't remember clearly, and she had a necklace of a hawk man, or a bird headed man. So I don't know. I've also had a Pennsylvania dream. I don't know.
Okay. Let's talk about the Pennsylvania dream.
It was just a weird one. I walked up to, it looked like a town home, but it was very pretty. And I see the address numbers, although right now I can't remember them. And I put my hand on it and I said, I used to live here. And I walked into their little courtyard, and they were having a party. But again, this dream is very old. This is from a while ago. But nobody interacted with me. Nobody saw me. But whoever lived there was like having a party. There were stringed lights along the yard. It was very pretty. But I knew I was in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
That was a dream.
And that speaks to more what we talked about earlier with maybe these like astral projecting kind of things, you know, where you're getting these information dumps. Because they get those.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you get these... you know, in past life regressions, another thing I don't know tons about, but that kind of could seem like one of those things too, where you're like, I lived here, or I live here, you know, whatever, you know, and you're experiencing that kind of phenomena. And I think it just comes back to it that I do think, whether the council made you more sensitive, or you seen the council because you were already sensitive, I kind of believe it that way. I don't trust into any entities that will not tell you anything. These all, like, whether they're aliens or interdimensional things or whatever, a lot of times they just give you so much vague information and threats and nothing. Like, tell me.
Right, yeah.
Like, write it down if you need to. Like,
it's funny. That's like kind of how our government operates.
Yeah, no, very similar. Very similar. It's probably the same people. It was, never mind. I said I was going to say it was somebody very politically powerful, was one of the robed and shroud guys. Yeah.
No, I think it's people behind the scenes.
Yeah, I do,
all
too.
Of them, yes.
No, it's... I think you're just... I don't know what the better word besides sensitive is, but, you know, sensitive. Where you don't turn away from these things. These things happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
You experience these things. And brain mutation is about the best thing I could point to it. Because there's tons.
It just... Can we think of, like, a better name?
It's a good thing. Mutation
is... I know it is. It just has, like, a...
Well, I mean, you think of a better name and I'll
stigma.
Use it.
Okay. Brain advantage.
So, like, Albert Einstein's brain, for example. okay. He had... It's not gray matter. It's the other stuff. I can't think of the other... It's basically the stuff that fuels the neurotransmitters.
Okay.
He was born with twice the amount of any other human.
Like neurons?
No, it's a filler material.
Oh, okay.
But it's like the median that helps transfer stuff. They never knew it if he was born with that, because obviously they didn't cut his brain open until after he was dead. they didn't know he was born with that, or that was because the way he was using his exercising his brain,
yeah,
his body adapted that
more. Yeah,
I think he was born with it, and not saying he was not going to be a smart man or whatever without that, but I think it's what led him to the path that he took. Now he couldn't do basic math.
So how do you get more of that stuff? Can you just inject it into your brain?
It's made of cholesterol.
Ooh, what's that mean?
You take whatever you think out of that.
Okay,
it's made of cholesterol. So I wonder if the group in, I don't know, I think me and my family were born into that because we had, you know, if anybody goes back and listens to those episodes, tons of the paranormal things that we were all experiencing and we didn't talk about until after, kind of deal. You know, and we just all were kind of suffering individually. Like, the night I had my childbirth encounter, I told Dad, and Dad never questioned it, took everybody, we left. We left that night. And later on, Dad had all kinds of encounters. But he never told anybody because, you know, you think you're crazy until your uncle says, yeah, I seen the same thing going in the same spot.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and describes it the same way. So I think some are born with it. I guess it's the long way of saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think?
That's good. I mean, I can agree with you. Like, my brother, when I had my weird, like, encounters, you know, in my bedroom with the clothes moving in the closet or not, I didn't really want to talk about it. But then I mentioned it to my brother, and he used to live in that same room when he was growing up, and he brought up, like, three separate things that happened to him that he never said a word about. It's like, thanks for the warning. I wouldn't have been so eager to move into your room once you left the house. But that's what happens.
Yeah, it's a demon room.
Apparently so.
Yeah. No, it's from astral projections to time slips to giant jellyfish.
That's the room I tried to astral project into. I tried when I was...
Did you try?
I tried when I was dreaming, yeah. I tried to lucid dream, astral... Never worked.
Yeah, I think you gotta be born with it. I don't think... I really don't think it's like something...
I tried.
Maybe we all are born with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the old man stare at goats, they searched for a long time to find the core group.
Right, yeah.
But I don't know. Like I said, we'll talk after we get off here about connecting you with some people that I think may have a little bit more knowledge.
Yeah.
And we do, especially for if that's maybe something you want to expand research into, you know, we'll be happy to kind of set you up in those group of people. Thank you for sharing. Do you have anything else? This has been amazing. Hopefully some of our insights helped, you know, on something.
Yeah.
I've had as far as that 4-year-old story, I've just started being more comfortable telling people about it. And I've had somebody tell me, well, maybe you were abducted. And then maybe I'm an alien in this body. But I'm not sure.
See, I don't think you are, personally. Yeah. you know, we've been doing this show for a while. I've done hundreds and hundreds of hours of research into that kind of stuff. I don't think you are. But I think they like to make you think those things. That they have more power than they really do, kind of deal. That they help make you special when you were, in my opinion, probably already, you know, that level. And they kind of, these entities seem to like to step in and kind of help steer it how they want it to go. Like, we give this, we did this for you. We helped you.
Yeah.
And I really don't think it is. I think you have this ability. You were born with these things. And that sometimes there's parasites that come along with this stuff.
Riding the coattails.
Yeah. I mean, there's parasites. Anybody that didn't know this interesting biology fact, out of all species of everything on the planet right now, 2/3 of them are parasitic. So there's 2 species of parasite for every non-parasitic species.
That's sink in.
Yeah, it's horrible. So I assume I'm gonna imagine that tracks over once we start getting to paranormal biology.
It's speculative biology.
Speculative biology.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But no, thank you for sharing again. We'll talk off air after we end here in a second. It's been great. I really do appreciate it. Hopefully, like I said, the jellyfish stuff helped. I know the rest of it is not our expertise, but we loved hearing it.
Absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, I think maybe there's... I'm going to go 32% chance it was trying to eat you.
Ooh. You gave a percentage this time.
Yeah, what's your percentage? They was trying to eat her.
33.
Well, there you go. Jay has less faith in you than I do.
No, I had more faith that it was hungry.
No, I have more faith that she was just seeing something that it already existed.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, I see. Oh, it still may have been.
I'm just saying.
It still may have been trying to eat her.
No. So.
I thought that was your percentage.
We like to end this a certain way. Here in a second, well, you know, the outro will play and everything. We're. Cut out. We're going to count down from three. We'll all scream by, the outro will play, and then we'll talk. Sound good? Okay. All right. Three, two, one.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cribs of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye. Bye.
Save big money at Menards. Never get locked out from lost keys again. Menards carries a huge selection of electronic lock sets. Get a TrueBolt touchscreen deadbolt that features one-touch locking and 50 programmable user codes. Available in matte black or satin nickel finishes on sale now through September 8th at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.